What child can weather this properly and survive on the other side of it without being just completely in a double bind and in a knot at the end of each day, wondering, do I believe my mom and dad, or do I survive at school with a good grade? You know, this is not fair to our children at all.
Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex, and with us a returning guest. She's been with us several times, and she is just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the abuse and the horror that is being perpetrated against children in government indoctrination centers, and increasingly, even many private schools across the country and all over the world. We've had her on to talk about SEL and the sexualization of children. Today, she's going to dig into a topic that I've been aware of for some time. I've been meaning to get to it, and it's critically important, folks. The same garbage that they are pumping into your house through the fake news media every night on the television, they are now pumping into the minds of our children with SEL and so much more. So Marsha Metzger, she's an SEL specialist, a social and emotional learning. We'll talk a little bit about that. For Protect Student Health Georgia, she's also a member of the Protect Child Health Coalition. That's a national coalition, incredible people. I'm a part of that coalition as well. She has served children and families most of her life in various forms of ministry. She went to Co-op Falls College. She was a former abstinence instructor in various public schools. And as she began learning about SEL, she really started sounding the alarm. Very, very significant stuff. And so one of the things that she does that's so interesting is she'll do these public record requests, open record requests, and get the actual documents so that you can see for yourself what they are exposing your precious children to. It truly is unbelievable. It's disgusting. It's sick. In my opinion, it should be a crime. Marsha, thank you for joining us. Tell us, for the people out there who don't even know what Newzella is, give us an overview. What is it? What are they doing? And how does this impact our children?
Thank you so much for having me today, Alex. Newzella is a digital system that's being used in schools. So it's a resource. They're either going to categorize these digital systems as actual curriculum or as a resource. This will be categorized as a resource, and it is delivered to the children through their computers, and it's pricey. And there are other alternate systems that are like Newzella that are free. So they want to get social and emotional learning to your kids any way they possibly can. This is the new highway into the roadmap of your child's heart. They want to become the parenting voice as they farm for all of these, what they call ACEs, which are when children have some kind of an adverse childhood experience, they want to take those experiences and find out how to get an SEL intervention program to your kid. So these classes are assigned like they are English and literature or language arts, ELA. So let me break down the name, because their names and their logos totally mean something, okay? So Newzella, what it has is news. So you take news out of the first part of the word, and then in the middle of the word is SEL, and then the back part of the word is ELA. Now for us, we think ELA means English and language arts, but for them, it means essential learning areas. So this is how they deliver SEL throughout each category of the day. They have it tailored for every single academic subject. And everyone's been wondering, well, they say they don't teach CRT. Well, they might not have a class called CRT, but they've carved out information throughout the day so your children can read propaganda news by their own reading lexile and learn about these different various topics, anything from voting. And they call our voting, they call America a democracy, not a republic.
Of course they do.
Yes. I mean, all of these different things, you can find these lessons slanted every single way, generally toward the, toward the left leaning progressive angles, of course. So anyway, this is their plan, their roadmap to integrate this into every part of the day. This system is in 90% of the schools is what they claim. And they're also claiming that they are out to replace the textbooks. True enough. Other things that are going on with them is you can also, if you just go to newzella.com and you click on solutions and you get the drop down for that, what happens with that, Alex, is they're showing all of these anti-bias, anti-race instruction, all of these different things that are going on with these kids. I mean, they're classifying all of these as identity, diversity. And when they classify these on these dropdowns, as you can see, they have where all of the kids are either going to be classified as BIPOC or non-BIPOC. So pretty much that's just a way of saying white or non-white.
Oppressor or oppressed in the ideology of these clowns, huh?
Exactly, exactly. And then too, I mean, oh my goodness, when the LGBTQIA++, everything else, it's all throughout. The transgender lessons are all throughout. It's full of all of the things that most parents would never agree to have their child learning. So then if we look at how well funded this particular organization is, they claim to be the literacy focused ed tech startup company. It's founded by Matthew Gross. He was educated, of course, Columbia University. Also, I mean, a lot of the people in these movements with SEL are connected with Columbia University somehow. And there's a lot of information that comes out of there. But two, it's a unicorn company. Now, I'm no big finance investor type of person, okay? I don't have that kind of money, but let's just talk for a minute about what that means. In business, a unicorn is a privately held startup company valued at over $1 billion. Okay. So this pretty much started out in an amazing, fast way. It's a double dip hit from Mark Zuckerberg, two different organizations that he has. Particularly you have the Zuckerberg Chan, and you have the Zuckerberg Education Foundation or something like that. So they have done two hits on it themselves to give that money. So when you look at the Twitter accounts for their founders as well, you've got Dan Kogan Drew has his pronouns listed up there. You know, all of the, you can just tell how they're going to lead. So you've got both of these men and you know, they're very well educated and they have an agenda and they are taking off with it. So the Newzella program, it just depends on if you have one of these teachers, especially these younger teachers, if they're assigning these lessons written by this propaganda news organization that we already have, you are delivering God only knows what to these kids. So
it's so disgusting, Marcia. It is so disgusting. I mean, no sensible parent would sit their child down in front of the clown news network, the CNNs of the world, and say, here, consume this garbage. I mean, for the same reason that we don't have our children drink out of the toilet, right? I mean, it's absolutely toxic garbage. And yet you send your children to school, you think they're going to be learning math, how to read. Instead, they're learning critical race theory, propaganda. All the current events of the day are being framed through this highly ideological Marxist lens. And our poor children are the victims of this. How widespread is this, Marshall? We've only got less than a couple minutes before we go to break. But where is this? Is this all over the country, just in Georgia? Yes. What's happening?
Yes. And it's 90% of schools is what they claim. So when I started doing my, you know, I plunder around through openthebooks.com and I started looking in the school districts. I mean, 2/3 of the school districts that I get into have it. So, you know, probably they're right. And I mean, when you're looking at Bible Belt Georgia, and I mean, Georgia has just been hit with a lot of this stuff. And matter of fact, there's even a article in here that talks about how people have moved to the South to make a difference, to break down Georgia. I'm like, I find that very interesting. And it's true because I'm finding every bit of this in these schools down here. There's not one public school that's not impacted by all this stuff. Not one.
Yeah, it's so, so horrific and so tragic. And yet the vast majority of parents have no idea what is going on. Folks, we're going to go to break here in just a moment. But when we get back, we're going to talk more with Marcia about social emotional learning. We're going to talk about critical race theory. We're going to talk about the sexualization of children and how all of this goes in, and also about who's behind Newzella, right? Who is doing this to our children? How is this? How did it become so ubiquitous in our schools without anybody realizing it? Who's behind this Newzella, this creepy, like, fake news program to pump this toxic stuff into our children's classrooms?
You know, I'm sure all of this basically traces back to CASEL, the Collaborative for Academic and Social and Emotional Learning. Of course, that's where much of this information stems from, and they are using this to infiltrate every single school. But they look for creative ways to deliver it to our students, and that's what you have to really be on the alert for. And like you said earlier, I do find a lot of things through open record requests, and I find that openthebooks.com has done a lot of my work for me. And they show me exactly where my school district has spent a lot of this money. So that's kind of how I got into finding out about the Newzella. But when I started looking in it, I'm going to describe for your listeners and your audience, the Newzella, a lot of the different investors, of course, I've told you already about Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. There's also Frank.
And that, for people who don't know, that is the wife of that little fascist who runs Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes. And also his big conglomerate is now called Meta. So you have, he's got a double hit though, through Chan Zuckerberg Initiative and the Zuckerberg Education Ventures. You've also got Franklin Templeton, Jennifer Coogan, Waycross Ventures, a lot of other different ones as well. But then when you look at who they use to validate their news, this is where it gets interesting. Newzella is being that it's largely funded by Zuckerberg. And then you have that they have on this one group called Adfontes Media. And you spell that A-D-F-O-N-T-E-S, Adfontes Media. And Adfontes means from the source. So they're looking at their little fact-checking system. So this is what I find to be very interesting. Newzella uses them as their standard bearer in order to make everything more believable or whatever have you. So their main customers, though, are Newzella and Meta. Meta is, you know, the big conglomerate. So it's almost a little incestuous there, you know, that they're using this. You know, everybody talks about how they can't stand the Facebook fact checkers. So anyway, when you look at the AdfontesMedia.org and you start looking at how they are doing this rating, and they won't even allow you to use their images without getting a license. They have this big bell curve looking chart, and they have graded every media outlet probably to a certain size, and they have shown who's extreme left and who's extreme right. So the ones they have in the extreme, you know, that are basically in the middle, that are supposed to be the most, the safest, are people like NPR, PBS Media. PBS Media. Folks, if you have not looked into PBS Media, Public Broadcasting Service, through your state or nationally, they are absolutely indoctrinating children through those channels. If you look at their health offerings, their health classes and everything for your kids, they're teaching them how to transgender. They're teaching them about all kind of different things with anti-racism. That's not true. They teach that America is a democracy, not a republic. There's just on and on and on. So anyway, those are the ones that they're looking at that are neutral. And they're not. And it's unreal how they're classifying it. So anyway, they also, Newzella wants to call all of these lessons that they want to teach your kids relatable and relevant to your child. Not to mention, it could be nonsense, but if they can get the kid to read it, comprehend it, and give the right answers about this nonsense, they call that education. So it's a dumbing down, just like in your book. It's proof that your book is so valid. If you haven't read Crimes of the Educators by Alex and Sam Blumenthal, you need to read it, because it absolutely describes everything that's going on with this.
Yeah. It's so sad, Marcia. I want to ask you in the last 5 minutes or so that we have left, some of the stuff that you sent me, this whole anti-racist stuff, it just pervades everything about New Zealand. I mean, it's anti-racist this, anti-racist that. And, you know, on the superficial level, that sounds good. You know, nobody wants racism. Nobody wants hatred, things like that. But they mean something very different by anti-racism than I think a normal person would mean, right? Probably the leading advocate of this crazy ideology is a wackadoodle out of Boston University called Ibram X. Kendi. Yes. And if you read this guy's books, I mean, he basically says we need a racial dictatorship to be anti-racist. He said we need to create, and in his words, a cabinet level department called the Department of Anti-Racism that would have unelected, unappointed, he calls them formally trained experts on racism, obviously people like him. And he says this entity would have the power to oversee every single public policy at the local, state, and federal level with veto authority over everything. In other words, we would have a full-blown racial dictatorship in this country under the guise of anti-racism. And yet they're teaching our children that to reject these things is to essentially be a racist. What do you think they're doing with this whole racism narrative, Marcia?
Well, I know one thing. I have been looking through, you know, how much these counties are paying out for diversity officers. So now in our schools, we don't just have your nice officer that just comes and protects the kids at the door. We've also got, we'll have our Title IX officer and now also the diversity officers. Now, when you're looking at diversity, equity, and inclusion, all of that is woven into SEL. That is the enforcer for it. So when you break down how they're discussing it, it is going to absolutely, if you are a white child, a cisgendered white child, you will feel so minimal. It's totally unfair to any children to do this. And then not only that, to call these other students marginalized, like they're not smart enough to make the grade in the American school system, that is quite insulting for these children. And it just breeds discontent and discord. When the terms that they are using in this document is BIPOC or non-BIPOC. So don't you just want your child to be known as Black Indigenous person of color or a non-Black Indigenous person of color? All of that, and that they're making it to where these kids have to adapt to these identity structures, whether it's sexual identity or gender identity. They're introducing these topics, the diversity backgrounds. You know, it's one thing when you're teaching just regular culture about another country. We've always learned that. When I was a kid, I loved learning about other cultures. But when you start talking about the fact that this is a human geography and we're going to learn not just about how they lived there and who they worshiped, we're going to learn how to worship the way these kids worship or these other cultures worship. We're going into a place where we are trying to rewrite the worldview that should be left up to the parents to instill in their children. You know, all of these things collectively, this particular system coming in and making the news cut for every classroom or whatever, and talking with all of these anti-bias, anti-racist instruction topics, all of these different things that they're introducing, what child can weather this properly and survive on the other side of it without being just completely in a double bind and in a knot at the end of each day, wondering, do I believe my mom and dad, or do I survive at school with a good grade? You know, this is not fair to our children at all.
Oh, it's an abomination, Marcia. It makes me feel so terrible for the millions of little children who are trapped in this horrific system. We got about a minute left. What's your advice out there to parents, taxpayers, school board members, teachers, people caught up in the system who recognize the evil that is being perpetrated against children? What do you say?
Well, what I do say to teachers, and I know of many teachers that are saying, I'm not going to teach it. Mm-hmm. Don't teach it.
Yep.
Don't teach it, because here's the thing. You could be charged with practicing therapy without a license. I mean, there's a host of things, breaking constitutional laws, because you are overriding the freedoms of parents to raise their children fundamentally as they see fit according to their beliefs. This is absolutely something parents should back off of, or teachers should back off of, refuse to teach it, and shut this business down in these school systems.
Amen. Absolutely. All right, folks, we're all out of time. Marsha, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate all you're doing to sound the alarm about these things. It's so critical. Hopefully we'll get you back very soon.
All right. Thanks, Alex. Y'all have a great day.
You too. All right, folks, that was Marsha Metzger. You can get in touch with her. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter. Until next time, God bless you all.